knocking of your door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God is
wherever you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Today I want to do a teaching which I've titled Stalwarts, the Proper Disciple. Lord, your word goes on unhindered in the name of Jesus. Why are we doing a teaching like this? Stalwarts, the proper disciple. Because actually, we wanted to do a teaching series on what the Bible teaches about money. But as we prayed and sought the Lord, God opened our eyes to the need for alignment. And even as we prayed now, I see what the Lord is saying. I see what the Lord is saying. The Lord began to emphasize how he needs us to be aligned, to bring our hearts to be properly positioned towards the Lord and the things of God. See, if you are not properly aligned to God, even when great things are being poured out into you, they will be wasted. You know, in Matthew 7 verse 6, Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy to dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under your feet." From the way we responded, or the way we are responding as we prayed, I'm concerned. I just pray and I believe God. I believe God that from this service, there will be a shift in your heart in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please don't allow yourself be in that state where you are consciously unserious about God. You are doing yourself a great disfavor to be that way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you allow yourself to stay in that place where you are perpetually stagnant spiritually and you are not growing, you are doing yourself a disfavor. Are you with me? Or if you are just here, just come, maybe let me just attend, and your heart is not really involved, it will affect you. It will affect you. Hallelujah. 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 So, have you ever had this experience where you were trying to fetch water with a bucket, but you discovered that the bucket was not properly under the tap? Maybe you were with your phone and you were just doing something like this. Then by the time you realized, half of the water that should have entered the bucket had poured on the floor. Who can relate to what I'm saying? That's what happens when a person is not aligned. Even though God is pouring out something great, it will not enter inside. Are you with me? You know, the Lord had to call my attention and told me to stop the teaching I was doing on love to come down and talk about this. So today's teaching is more or less a preparatory service, as it will set the tone for most of what God wants to do in your lives this year. Amen. Amen. So what do we mean by stalwarts? To be stalwart means to be strong, to be tenacious, to be dependable, to be consistent, to be loyal, to be solid. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
To be stalwart means to be strong, to be tenacious, to be tough, to be dependable. Can you say after me? To be strong.
To be strong.
Tenacious.
Dependable.
Consistent.
Solid.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Add this one. To be loyal. Tell them to be loyal. You see, in your Christian journey, there are different phases. There is the phase of childishness, where well, there is a phase of childishness and there is a phase of maturity. And like in normal development, when a child is between 0 to 2 years old, your expectation from that child is little. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
A 0 or a 1-day-old baby, there's little you are expecting from the child. Everything is done for the child. The child is fed, the child is bathed, the child is dressed, the child is clothed. You have to be looking at the child every 2 minutes. But when the child is 3 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old, you begin to have more expectations. Are you with me? The same child who was spoon-fed, now you are telling the child, finish your food, eat by yourself. You expect the child to become strong. And by the time the child is 15, 16, 17, you are expecting the child now to become stalwart, dependable. When the child says, "Don't, mommy, don't worry, I'll wash my clothes." Imagine you are age 20 and your mom is disturbing you. Come and wash your clothes. After a while, you will tell him, you tell her, "Please leave me. I will wash the clothes. Don't worry." Are you with me? Because right now, you are of age. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
By the time you are 20, you should be learning how to drive. There are things you should be doing on your own. They can ensure that, they can trust that if they give you your school fees, you will go and pay it by yourself. Except the ones that their village were after them. You are expected to be dependable. You are expected to be solid. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? God is looking for stalwart Christians. He's looking for stalwart Christians. The biblical name for a stalwart Christian is a disciple. Say after me, a disciple. Say it again, a disciple. God is looking for Christians that he can depend on. Christians who are tough. Christians who are tenacious. Christians who are dependable. Christians who are consistent. Christians who are solid. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes.
It is the stalwart Christians that God can build with. It is the stalwart Christians that God can place his burdens on. It is the stalwart Christians that God can depend on. Please, are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Father, they get it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is the stalwart Christians that can carry the burdens of God for a generation. Every parent knows, no matter how much you love your child, no matter how much you believe in the future of your child, no matter how much you care for your child, no normal thinking father will give his 10-year-old child a car key to drive him. Daddy, you are here. Can you give your 10-year-old son a car to drive you? You say, "Don't worry. Hello, boy. Just drive me. I will stay at the back." You can't. You can't. Because if you try it, put the on the car for the child, put the car on drive and tell the boy to drive, that boy will kill you and kill himself. Do you know why? Because he's not yet dependable. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He's not yet trusted. He's not yet stalwart. There are many Christians that the thing they are praying to God about, they will never get it. God will never give them. If they like let them cry from now till tomorrow, God knows that if he gives them, it is the recipe to disaster. So that means until you become stalwart, there are many things in your Christian life you will never have. This is why this is important. There are many things you will never get. Because God cannot depend on you. He can't trust you. He can't build with you. Please, are you with me? Every now and then, stories of oh God, what, how did I come here? Now I've started it to stop it. Stories of one pastor did this, one pastor did that, one pastor did this, and people are even see the testimony. Thank God it was not this church that she was broken. Somebody said it was in the church that my life was scattered. I say this with all sense of humility. There are pastors today that need to go back to foundation discipleship class. Are you guys what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
They rose through the ranks, but they did not rise in spiritual rank. They don't know what it is to be a person of the spirit. They don't know. You know, when I said the other day that we are in ministry during gays. When I said that, people think, what do you think we are doing here? Do we think it's just to come and see someone on fine suits with clip mic, LED screen, and say, you know, the word says, you know? Eh? You are talking about people's destinies here, people's lives, people's entire existence. We can't play games with those things. Are you with me? And the devil is a liar. He has failed in your life.
Amen.
I said he has failed in your life.
Amen.
I said the devil has failed in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is the stalwart Christians that God can build with. No matter how much you love your child, there are things you will not give him. No matter how much God loves you, there are things he will not give you. There are things he cannot trust you with. And even if he wanted to give you out of pity, it is still a problem. It's just like when you are doing a building. The foundation for a bungalow is not the same thing for a three-story building. Do you know that? If you say, Kai, this foundation, it looks fresh. Let's just put, after you do first-story building, second-story building, third-story, maybe we just add one more. And then you start seeing buildings collapse. Tell your neighbor, stalwart. And even if you don't want to hear what I'm saying, in your Christian journey, for your destiny, do you think the same foundation you have now is enough for where God is taking you to? It's not a... I don't know if the Holy Ghost, maybe God knows why he's moving me to talk like this. There are many things, if God gave me 8 years ago, I would have just died. I'm telling you, I would have just died. I remember during the last elections, so I had prayed for someone. A man who was on the wheelchair, and he got up. And so he was a big man. And so during the elections, what happened? He began to call all his friends that were in politics and said, please come and meet my pastor. He will pray for you. Former Justice of Chief Judge of Magistrate Court, River State. They brought him, we prayed for that one, he got an appointment, they brought this one, we prayed for that one. After a while, I became bothered. I became bothered because I'm a man of God, I'm not a Dibia. My real job is to get you to know Jesus.
Yes,
is to get you to really know, are you with me?
Yes,
so they brought a certain politician to me. And after I prayed for the man, I had a dream. That night, I had a dream. In the dream, I saw two other politicians came to meet me and said, stop helping that man. Allow us kill him. And they told me their names. This one said, my name is Senator this. My name is... Don't joke with the spirit realm. Some of you, you they play too much. You play too much. Some of you, you are cooked, but you are playing. They told me, they said their name. So I called the man. I said, "Who do you know so-and-so person? Do you know so-and-so person?" The man said, "Hey! Hey! Let them leave me alone! Let them..." He says, the man wants to kill me. Because of this appointment, he wants to kill me. Are you what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, be stalwart. Be strong. See, this sermon is to bring you to a place where you desire to become a proper disciple. It is to bring you into a place where you are willing, where you are hungry. It's something you desire. It's not just, see, this is not something that is just luxurious. As I'm going to show you in the Word of God, let me tell you something. You don't have an option. No. As a Christian, you don't have an option. If you are not stalwart, if you are not strong, if you are not a proper disciple, it is either you are in the faith or you are not in the faith. I am telling you, it is that serious. First Corinthians 15, verse 58. First Corinthians 15, verse 58. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Everybody read this verse 1 to 3, go. Read it again. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Say after me, steadfast. Say after me, steadfast. Say it again, unmovable. I want an army of people who are not just church visitors, but men who are steadfast. When they say we should pray, there is a way. See, when believers come together to pray, when you steadfast believers are praying, you will know. Their sound will rise to God like an incense of flaming fire. Some of you, we said, okay, don't pray in tongues. Just say, "Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive." The same people that can shout, oh my God. Let me tell you a simple way to know a person is low spiritually. Look at his response to spiritual things. The common one. Somebody that is awake, he can watch a 2-hour movie. His eye will not blink. Open Bible. That's to tell you that in the spirit, his attention span is small. Do you know what that means? It also means that if God wants to communicate something for him and his future that will take that long, he will also sleep. Have you heard people say things like, "I keep having dreams I don't remember. I keep having dreams I don't remember." You know what's happening? Their mind has not been trained to pick up information from the memory of their spirits. The memory space, maybe their normal brain is 500 terabytes. The space of their own spirit, maybe 2 gig. Before the video will complete, memory full. By the time they wake up, "I don't forget." Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
I have visions. There are things God showed me in 2007. God told me I was going to come to Abuja in 2007. God showed me Wuye, Abuja, 2007. So, 2007. 2007. 2007. See, tell your neighbor, wake up, wake up. Some of you, if Jesus walks inside here now, you will still not know. They will still be sleeping. No, I'm not saying this to prove I'm better than you. I was there. Oh, I was once there. I remember many years ago, more than 15 years ago, I was in the room with one of my spiritual fathers, mentors. We prayed in the night, and he told me, the Lord is coming this night. Be alert. I said, yes, sir. I went to sleep. Alert, okay. I went to sleep. I slept. The sleep was sweet. Rain now fell.
Oh.
7 a.m. He woke me. He said, did you see him? He came. Jesus came here. Did you see him? I said. He said, you were sleeping, Abby. He said, you at least wake up now. Some people are like that. The Lord is waking them to pray. You think like this? They are cooking your future. They are in one shrine cooking something. Up and grateful. I pray I'm not up and a grateful. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There are some of you don't even know how strong you have become. Even when the devil wanted to discourage you, you are still here. There are some people, any small discouragement, pastor, I cannot be in church. But there are some people, in spite of everything, they are still there. You know why? Those are the people that God built. They are the pillars that God are building on. If those people leave, are you with me? Imagine, I remember years ago when God was talking to me. What is it I'm saying? It's not in my note. God is pressing my spirit. God asked me, 2005, God asked me, if every Christian was like you, what is the hope of Christianity? That's what God asked me. If every Christian in the world was like you, what is the hope of my church? If everybody was like you, what is the hope of my church? What is the hope of my message? What is the hope of my mandate? If everybody was like you. Are you with me? Unmovable. Some people can never remember a time in their life where they were consistent with God. They can never remember. All they know is, I was serious with God that time. Then something happened, and I left God for 5 years. Then I now came back. I was now serious again. That time we were in school fellowship, we were vibrant. Then now, somebody talked to me. Somebody else annoyed me in church. Then I left. I came back after 2 years. Then something happened. Things that happened. And I left again. See, there are people like that. They can never remember when they were ever consistent. Say one whole year, they were consistent, committed in a church, doing the work of the Lord, on fire for the Lord. Why? They cannot remember 1 year. 1 year service, plenty of people, 6 months. Can you tell your neighbor, be steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding. In the work of the Lord. Let's not go over. Some people cannot remember 4 Sunday streets where they attended church. 4 Sundays. Sunday number 1, Sunday number 2, number 3, number 4. And God knows my heart. See, like you heard her testimony, I don't say these things to judge anybody. I'm saying it out of concern. I love you. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
If you're not close, if you don't know that, that means you have not become close to me. I'm saying that of concern, because now there are things that have to be built upon. You have to have a structure in your life where there is a building. You are here, you hear the same word, tomorrow there's another building on top. Layer on top layer, layer on top layer. After a while, that's how you become strong. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. See, if you are not trained like this, even those that already have a strong spiritual resolve, those who were stalwarts, after a while, if you are not trained this way, you can start losing it. I want to ask you, do you think the people that look like they are fathers of faith or they have been leaders in the gospel, do you think that there were not times for them to give up? Don't even go far. Your pastor, me. Do you think I've not faced? My God. Even Jesus reached points where he told God, say, Baba, if it's possible, I've been obeying since, but you see this one, can your cup just pass? Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Can this cup just pass over me? Let me escape this one. Then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Praise the Lord. If you are not trained like this, even those who have stamina can begin to lose it. Jesus says, and because iniquity shall abound, Matthew 24 verse 12, the love of many shall wax cold. Is your love already waxing cold? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Is your love already waxing cold? Where are you? Where are you in your journey? Can you help me ask somebody to your right, to your left, where are you? Where are you with your in your journey with the Lord? Ask them again, where are you with your in your journey with the Lord? And there is even a more scarier warning. See, the Bible says that before the Antichrist comes, before the last day is eventually fulfilled, that there will be a great falling away. In the church, there will be a great falling away. Look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I'm watching global news and I'm just like, hey, we are closer to the end of the age than people think. There are so many teachings on the end of the age, apocalypse and all of that. I remember when I was in Bible school, 2009. Our teacher, the lecturer that taught us on the end of times, he said, people will say many things, but there is one thing every Bible scholar must look forward to. And all of us are watching like this. Anybody that ends the war between Israel, Palestine, Iran, that once that war comes to an end, pack your load. just ready. Are you with me? Anybody that will end that war, you have to look at the person closely like this. Number two, the person that will, after ending the war, decide to make his headquarters in Jerusalem. That's what Jesus talked about, the abomination of desolation. Okay, I'm going too far. And we are here sitting out like this. What is going on? The leader of Iran was killed. Is it not yesterday? Jesus says that before that day will come, there will be a great falling away first, and that man of sin will be revealed. So before that man is revealed, there will be a great falling away. What is a great falling away? Let me read what AI said, because this one, they got it. Sometimes they get it wrong, but this one, they got it right. They said, the great falling away or apostasy is a prophesied end-time event described in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. Now listen to this. As a widespread, deliberate abandonment of the Christian faith before the return of Jesus Christ, it represents a departure from sound doctrine within the church, not just merely a rise in general secularism. What does this mean? You know, Jesus gave a parable that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that went into a sea and caught a great fishes, both good and bad. But when he brought them into the kingdom, he began to separate the good ones from the bad ones. So what God will do is that before his trumpet sounds, he wants to separate those that really belong to him and those that were just wasting time in church. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Jesus was always particular about separating those that were really his and those that were wasting their time. He was always particular. For instance, in John chapter 6, the Bible tells us that he has just multiplied bread, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes to feed 5,000 men, aside women and children. And the Bible says he left them, but they went to look for him. The guy, not just the heal. He was not just healing. He was not just casting out devils. Now, he is multiplying food. Hey! Do you know what it means? That you have one pack of pizza. You brought it to your pastor. To your pastor. Pastor David said, be multiplied. One pack became 5 packs. Hey, hey. They say we must catch them. We must catch them. Jesus ran. They looked for him like this. Then Jesus, he wants to separate those that came to him for the real stuff and those that came for bread. He said, you did not seek me because of even miracles. You came for bread. He told them, you people, you are here because of bread. And that one was bread and fish, sardine. You know, Titus, it used to be 4. How many fishes now is inside? If it's 2, that means they are prophetic. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He said, you came for bread. That's why you came. Then he began to say things that will eventually separate the real disciples from the fake disciples. See what he said in verse 27. He says, labor not for the meat that perisheth. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Let me tell you the secret. Many people think, all this God thing, all this prayer, all this knowing God. Pastor, see, I'm going through stuff. See, just give me my urgent care. I just want to. He's telling you that the simpler thing for him to do is that bread. Labor for this one. Labor for the bread that is spiritual. Labor for the meat that is spiritual. That natural bread is more simpler. It is easier. If so, oh my God. But you see, the devil will make many people get it twisted. They are more willing to sacrifice for natural bread than for spiritual bread. Are you getting me? And then, in verse 61, Jesus said things that offended people. He now said, does this offend you? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he was telling them things, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have everlasting life. Why was he saying those things? He wanted to offend the people that were not really disciples. Do you know what that means? It means if you easily get offended and you easily get offended about the things of God, maybe your discipleship is in question. He says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? In fact, but the Bible moves that after a while, some of people stopped following him. They said, leave that man. They stopped following him. If I was Jesus, the ministry has blown now. 5,000 men are eating food. apart from women and children, they have gone to call their own people. But Jesus wanted to be sure. I want to know the real people, the real stuff. Tell your neighbor, stalwarts.
Stalwarts.
See, from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. That means if you're in a church, and every service, you hear what you like, you don't hear what will offend you and make you better, you are not in the right place. If every time you are hearing, oh, you will make it, they don't care about you are growing spiritually, they don't care about you, what you are doing with God, they don't care about your spiritual life. You know some people, their problem is going with God's blessings on their life. A woman told her husband, I preferred you when you were poor. I preferred you when you were poor. He said, when you were poor, you didn't have money for all these girlfriends. Me and you were praying together. Now God has blessed you. I don't understand. You have become so wicked. You have become so arrogant. Please, am I talking to you? Father, I will finish this sermon in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, if as a disciple or as a Christian, you look at your life, and after all these years, you cannot say that you are stalwart. You cannot say that you are dependable in Christ. You cannot say that you have become strong in Christ. You cannot say that you have become solid in Christ. There's a problem. There's a problem. Please, am I talking to you?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why I preach like this is because I know that one day I'm going to stand before Jesus and he will ask me. You know, I've always shared that story here. 2021, I just finished a conference, big conference in Port Harcourt. I had a vision. In the vision, I was on a line. There were four of us on the line, and there was somebody sitting down. And as the vision proceeded, I discovered that we were all pastors. And they were giving result sheets to different pastors. Hey? And when I got to my own time, they said, "You're welcome, Pastor David. This is your result sheet for the year." I said, "Wow, so God has a marking scheme.
Yes, sir.
This is your result sheet for the year." I saw a position. I saw my position for that year. He said, "Your position for this year is 6. You had 6 position." I said, "Okay." It was as real as I'm talking to you. I was dumbfounded. And then he showed me my report. Different topics, different issues. Then I saw a particular line. It was colored red. He said, "You see this place? You did not really do well here." I said, "Why? Where did I not do well?" He said, "You are too careful not to offend people. That's where you did not do well. The correction, you say, learn to let the correction from my word become stronger." And I woke up. Since that, I can never forget it. Say after me,
I'm blessed.
What are the marks of a proper disciple? Luke 2 verse 40. What are the marks of a proper disciple or of the proper disciple? Luke 2 verse 40. The Bible says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now, that text was actually referencing the development of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? He was telling you how Jesus Christ developed. He says, "And the child grew." Say after me, "And the child grew."
"And the child grew."
"And waxed strong in spirit."
"And waxed strong in spirit."
"Filled with wisdom."
"Filled with wisdom."
"And the grace of God was upon him." So let's unpack this. Number one, he said what? The child grew. Say after me, "The child grew."
"The child grew."
So we're going to use this template to explore what the proper disciple looks like. The first mark of a disciple is that he is born again. Because he says, and the child grew. It is only somebody who has been born that can grow. It is only somebody who has been born that can become a child to even start growing. Are you with me? And the child grew. So question number one, are you born again? Protocol, please, let that door be closed. Question number one, are you born again? Have you really come to the point where you see that without Christ, you are in everlasting darkness, headed for eternal destruction? Or is Jesus just an option to you? Have you really surrendered your life to Jesus Christ for salvation? Have you trusted in his work for salvation? Or you still believe that if I cover my hair on my own, if I do good things, I can be saved? Do you think your good works can save you? Have you come to that point where you have surrendered, say, Lord Jesus, save me. Have mercy on me. Because the issue of sin is not first about a doing. It's about a nature. There is something in man. Are you with me? The works of sin that we do or that men do is the result of the nature of sin in men. And until Christ changed that nature, you are still a sinner, no matter how righteous you act. And that's why you must be born again. Because the first birth from Adam gave birth to you in sin. You must be born again. You know, when we talk about born again, some people think, oh, if I just do right. No. The first person that Jesus preached that statement, that sermon to, being born again, he was a religious leader. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. The same came to Jesus by night, saying, Rabbi, we know that you are a great teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he was hailing Jesus. Kai, the miracles you are doing, kai, they are powerful. Then Jesus told him, they no born you were. Are you with me? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus just ignored everything the man was saying. Because I think the man wanted to come and rapport with Jesus. You know, Jesus, you are a charismatic religious leader. Me, I am from the Orthodox religious sect. It's just that we wear robe. We are the Pharisees. You wear flowing gown. Let's rapport. Jesus said, leave that one first. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, I'm emphasizing it. I have discovered one major reason why many people are not serious about God. First of all, they have not even been born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot see anything we are saying here. It don't make sense to them. You by always see my time. I bet. You invited me in church now. I have come. There's a nice. I've come. Because when you get born again and receive Jesus into your heart, he will give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will begin to stir a hunger. That is why there will be two people. One has not prayed for a day or for 2 days, and he's feeling somehow. The Holy Spirit within him that is working a new life within him is telling him, no, you cannot go on like this. You cannot stay away from God like this. Another one, please, I beg, don't disturb me. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he goes on to verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he was saying, this born again experience, please, are you with me? Yes, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, there is no confusion. In the name of Jesus, there is understanding. In the name of Jesus. He says, can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Is this something he will do naturally? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. If you look at the off there, it is in bracket. Better put like this, except a man be born of water, which is the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Meaning, for a person to be born again, after you have surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, he will give you his Spirit, which will awaken to you the fatherhood of God in your heart. Are you with me? And then in verse 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You are here hearing me. If you know you are not born again today, you must be born again. You must be born again. That's the reason why we are here. First of all, you must enter into the kingdom of God. You must enter into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And listen, that's the best thing that can happen to you. Are you getting me? That's the best that can happen to you. Jesus says in verse 7 of this John chapter 3, marvel not. Don't be surprised. I'm telling you, you must be born again. Everything in this world one day has an end. It is only the life of God in the human spirit that has eternity here. You know what? Everybody bow your heads. If you know you are not born again, and you cannot remember, and when I'm saying if you know you are not born again, if you know you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, trusting him for eternal life and for salvation, please pray with me. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you were buried for me. And you rose up for my justification. I surrender to you. Save me by your blood. Cleanse me by your blood. Make me your child. Send me your Holy Spirit and put a seal on me. I admit I am a sinner in need of help. I admit I cannot save myself. I admit I cannot help myself. I put my trust in you. I do not trust my own good works, but I trust your work for me. Thank you, Father. Amen. If you pray that prayer, you know what? While our heads are bowed down and our eyes closed, if you pray that prayer, raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, begin work in their lives in the name of Jesus. Begin works in their lives in the name of Jesus. Put your hands down. After the service, you will do something. I won't force you. On your own, you will meet with Minister Victoria. Stand up, let them see you. Just walk up to her. She'll be coordinating first timers and discipleship membership class. Walk up to her, let her take your name. There's a reason why I'm deciding not to tell you to come out. I want you on your own to make that step. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Please be seated. Number one, born again. Number two, he says, and the child grew. So after you have been born again, the next mark of a disciple is that you have a passion for growth. Say after me, a solid desire for growth. So you can check yourself. Do I have a desire to grow spiritually? Or that desire is non-existent? Where is my desire to grow spiritually? I want to ask you a question. What will happen if you ever get to the point where you no longer feel hungry to eat natural food? What does that mean? Somebody should... Let me give the mic to somebody. If you no longer have the desire to eat food, don't be quick to call yourself Superman. Imagine you no longer feel like eating food. What does that mean? Who can try? Say something. What does that mean? Daddy says, the sign of what?
Sickness.
Sickness.
Yes.
Death. Somebody said death. Is that I'm not abnormally happy? So we believe that as a human being, you will have a desire to eat. How can you be a Christian and you don't desire to eat spiritually? You know, when I got born again, there's something that used to happen to me. I didn't understand it then. Now I get it now. Now I get it. I just wanted to eat, like, take the word of God. I read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. After a while, I wanted to listen to sermons. I wanted to hear somebody just preach. Are you getting me? To hear somebody preach and break down the word of God, I wanted to hear it. That desire must never leave you. Are you with me? Just the same way you'll be eating till either Jesus comes or he calls you home. In the same way as a Christian, even after 20 years in the Lord, you must still have a desire to eat. In fact, that you are growing, you'll be eating more. Let me give a good example. Who remembers when you were struggling to finish one sachet of water? Or sachet water. Who remember? If you can remember that time in your life where to finish it was so difficult. You would take one gulp. I can't finish this thing. A time came, you just like this. It's gone. What really happened? Because you grew, your capacity to consume grew.
Yes, sir.
There are some of you, they were begging you to finish food. When you were 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, like we beg my daughter now. Finish your food now, I'm tired. They will beg you, they will give you one small, Nigerians can relate with this one. They will give you one small gari. You are struggling. A time now came, you will do like this. Bah. Oh, yeah, mountain. That before Zerubbabel, that shall become a plane. There are some guys, my God. When you see their place like this, you can actually climb the mountain. Yeah? And before them, it will be made a plane. Somebody say, sharp. the people that eat the most are the slim people. Though. Don't look at somebody that is fat and say, those ones that are fat is their gene. You will see one lanky brother. You will think it's fasting that is keeping him like that. It's his gene too. Say, please give me food. You know, do me. No, it's not enough. Put more. Ah, put more. Put more. Before 2 minutes, it has finished. Oh. In the same way, you know, I was talking to somebody. The person came and met me and said, Pastor, we're talking about something spiritual. And I didn't even know when he was asking me, we're talking about Bible reading. I was like, actually read about 40 chapters of the Bible today. He was like, 40 chapters. I said, do you know what I'm consuming? Oh, I have to eat a lot. I'm feeding nations.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
First Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2 from verse 2 to 3. So the first mark of a disciple is that what? You are born again. Number 2 is that what? Solid desire for spiritual growth. Can we all say it together? Solid desire, for spiritual growth. Somebody may be hearing me and saying, Pastor, you know all these things you are saying, me, I'm not really deep. I'm just there. It is you that I really came for. It's you. Second Peter chapter 2 from verse 2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Verse 3. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Meaning, if you have truly tasted of the Lord's grace, what will happen to you? You will desire the sincere milk of the word, that you will grow. Praise the Lord. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, you will desire the sincere milk of the word, that you will grow. Amen. And finally, for today, the third mark of the proper disciple is the building of spiritual strength. The building of spiritual strength. Now, go back to that Luke chapter 2, verse 40. You see what I'm saying? Thank you, Lord. He says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. So the child, being born again, grew. Desire for spiritual growth. He waxed strong in spirit. Please, everybody read this thing. 1, 2, 3, go. Shout that glory well. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. So after you are born again, after you are beginning to respond, you are growing spiritually, you are taking in the word of God. The next thing is you begin to wax strong in spirit. And how do you wax strong in spirit? We talked about it during gaze. You wax strong in spirit by exposing yourself to the presence of God. Are you with me? You see, and this will not even happen if you don't love God. If you don't love God, you will not expose yourself to His presence. When you begin to seek after His presence, that passion to begin to seek after the presence of God in worship, seek after the presence of God in prayer, you are beginning to work strong in spirit. After a while, the things that you saw before that made you scared, after a while, you know I can handle this one. What's this? Your spirit man is becoming strong. Your spirit man is becoming strong. Exposure to God's presence. Exposure to God's presence in worship. Exposure to God's presence in prayer. Now you will see yourself, you are desirous of long times of prayer. You just want to say, Lord, I love you. You are my strength. I engage you, Lord. Please reveal yourself to me. Lord, help me to know you. Lord, help me to walk with you. You are praying, no? You have started praying. Lord, order my steps. Help my mind. Help my mind. When you are going through a tough time, you are not quick to say, I am finished. Instead, you learn to do like this. Lord, you are my help. Lord, you are my strength. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling weary. I feel overwhelmed, but you are my strength. When you are going through a tough time, you will learn to run to God because you are learning to build spiritual strength. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Say after me, stalwart. And the consequence of this is that you will become full of wisdom. And the grace of God will become manifest upon you. You become full of wisdom. See, people should look at your life and know that, Kai, there is a divine wisdom on this person.
Yes, sir.
They see the steps you are taking, the moves you are making. Ah, there is wisdom. And the grace of God is upon you. I pray for you.
I receive.
Let this meeting ignite a new desire for growth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
From today's service, a new chapter in your life is open in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A new chapter of grace is open in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A new chapter of grace is open in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A new chapter of grace is open in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, when you are building spiritual strength, you have to begin, you will learn to respond to your heart. Your heart is crying out for God. Now, you will hear a song and you just want to pray. You will just bend your head. Manta kapalaka seketelia. You will learn to close your eyes because now you are learning how to engage God from your spirit. Engage God from your spirit. Before they will ask you, all the speaking in tongues thing. No. You don't understand me. Now you are interested. You don't know how to pray in tongues, but you are interested. You want to know. You want to respond. And then the worship is going on. You are praying. You don't know when you start doing matakapa. Spirit, pray. Spirit, pray. From desert in vessel. Yes, the Holy Ghost is locked up in my heart in vessel. Yes, the Holy Ghost is locked up in my heart in vessel. You learn to pray. Kaparata kata.
Yes, the Holy Ghost is locked up in my heart in vessel. Rakapalatash. Yes, the Holy Ghost is locked up in my heart in vessel. Spirit, pray. Hey. Pray. Spirit, pray. From this earth in vessel. Spirit, pray. Hey. Yeah.